the Satyoga approach is composed of the three orientations that are symbolized by the three mantras that we chant at the end of a meditation and before eating and at other moments. And they represent the process of first the ascent to God, Namah Shivaya, the devotion, the surrender, the complete receptivity to the presence of God that takes precedence over any egoic mental activity. And it is this orientation that brings one to samadhi, to Shivaham. Shiva is I. And it is the bliss of the union with Shiva that is the consummation of our devotion. And this consummation takes place in the transcendent dimension. It is the bodiless, luminous presence of the pure intelligence and love of God in itself, as God is, in the purity that transcends time and space. And then the final orientation or attitudinal adjustment is the return into the phenomenal plane, but realizing that this also is Tat, this also is Sat, this is God in the form of the multiplicity that is pervaded by the same unity of pure intelligence, of the one supreme being. And so it is that triple process that orients us to be able to be in samadhi all the time, whatever is happening to the body or the mind, without change and without illusion. But with that context in mind, let us return to the words of the Zen master Huangpo, who was writing according to this in about 800 to 850 AD, at a time before the modern ego structure came into being. And therefore, the approach is even simpler because there is no ego that needs to go through the process of surrendering and being in devotion. He begins at the level of soul, and the soul simply has to realize its true nature, that it had fallen from into archetypal thought, but not into ego thought. So, and remember the translation from Chinese into English always loses some essential elements. There are words that cannot be translated, that English does not have equivalents for. So the word that this translator uses is mind with a capital M. The Tibetan Buddhists would use the word Rigpa, and others would use shunyata. But mind with a capital M is the translation chosen here. And it works as long as we understand that we're talking about the pure intelligence of God that does not operate through dualistic thinking, through language, through the process of perception that includes subject-object differentiation. So this mind, the mind of Shivaham, this mind is no mind of conceptual thought, and it is completely detached from form. Okay? So he's starting with the obstacle being conceptual thought. Now, for the postmodern ego, it rarely reaches conceptual thought. Most of the monkey mind chatter that has to be silenced is not conceptual. Is your ego usually thinking samsara is nirvana, Shiva is I, the world is eternal? Are we having those thoughts in our mind, or are we having thoughts like, I hate that person or that thing for doing that to me, or I wish I had this or that and I'd be happier, or I have to demand this in order to have enough time to be able to play my video game, or whatever it is that the ego is wanting, demanding, and attacking itself for or attacking the other for? These are not conceptual thoughts. So to reach the level of conceptual thought is already a tremendous improvement in consciousness. So first of all, we have to get rid of the impurity of the very vulgar, mundane projections, accusations, and the paranoid process, the schizoid orientation of self-alienation and alienation from the world. That is incoherent. It's not conceptual. And the anger and the other emotivity and volatility of complete decentralized and unformulatable thought that is simply imagery and imaginary scenarios. This is what first has to be cleansed away. This wasn't a problem back in 850 AD. It wasn't something that they had to be concerned with. They were already in soul consciousness, but the soul had to go beyond its sense of differentiation from the supreme reality. We have to first get to soul, and so to use the mantra of Om Namah Shivaya will at least clear away the illusory thoughts that produce an incoherent phenomenal plane in which it is taken for granted that the I represents the body and all of the body's desires and fears and pains and suffering. But the conceptual thought has nothing to do with a bodily identity. It is, in fact, already mind. But it is not the mind with a capital M. So we have to go from the emotional, incoherent chatter of paranoid process into the mind through the archetypal conceptual understanding of Namah Shivaya. And then that brings us into Shivaham, which is that mind with a capital M, that has no conceptual thought and is completely detached from form. So, Buddhas and sentient beings do not differ at all. If you can only rid yourselves of conceptual thought, you will have accomplished everything. That's all there is to do. But let's include all thought, all chatter, all imagery, the imaginary register, as well as the symbolic. And that's, then you will, as he says, have accomplished everything. You don't have to achieve something beyond the realization that you are mind with the capital M, and all the rest is delusion. There is no world. The world is mind. But it becomes world because you lose the capital M mind and fall into the little mind that makes differentiations between what it perceives as objects, either of desire or fear or repulsion or whatever, but it creates objects that are simply a grid of mental activity upon the real. When you understand that you have never left mind, mind is all there is no world, there is only God, then you will already be free. You don't have to reach God by taking some rocket ship outside of the world and try to reach some transcendent dimension beyond it. No, we are here, but we do not recognize where we are or what we are. And until we silence the false mind that creates the delusion of separation, we cannot realize the truth. So he says, if you students of the Tao do not rid yourselves of conceptual thought in a flash, even though you strive eon after eon, you will never accomplish it. So it has to be done in a flash, instantly. It can't be done gradually through thinking your way there or praying your way there, whether you're on your knees or you're totally prostrated on the ground, it's irrelevant. There has to be a flash of realization of mind with the capital M and the realization that you are that. And there is nothing but that. But that mind is not a mind that is thinking conceptually. It is pure awareness. So you'll never accomplish it if you don't accomplish it in a flash. And that flash is called presence. And the presence that you need for that flash only happens now, in the present. It's now or never. It will not happen in a future. So you cannot prepare for it and want it and think it will happen one day if you just continue practicing. That is the delusion that we must recover from. It won't happen. Okay. Enmeshed in the meritorious practices of the three vehicles. He's talking about, you know, Vajrayana Buddhism and Tantra and all of those vehicles of very abstract thought. If he enmeshed in those meritorious practices, he's being a bit ironic there, you will be unable to attain enlightenment. So the worst thing you can do is be religious. The worst thing you can do is be pious, to be filled with prayer. Because what is prayer except conceptual thought? God, help me. I give up. Help me. That's also a concept of separation from God and a belief in helplessness. So, nevertheless, the realization of the one mind, with a capital M, may come after a shorter or a longer period. So it's not that because you have wasted time in wrong approaches that it is hopeless. No, it can still happen immediately. It doesn't matter if you've taken a shorter or longer period to prepare yourself for that purification. There are those, however, who, upon hearing this teaching, rid themselves of conceptual thought in a flash, immediately. And there are others who do this after following through the 10 beliefs, the 10 stages, the 10 activities, the 10 bestowals of merit, etc., etc., all the various teachings of Buddhism. And yet others accomplish it after passing through the 10 stages of a bodhisattva's progress. This is also a well-known text in Buddhism. But, he says, whether they transcend conceptual thought by a longer or a shorter way, the result is a state of being. The same state of being, supreme being. Whether you've taken the long route or the short, you get to the same place, if you get there. And he says, this state of being requires and it contains no pious practicing and no action of realizing. So the flash that happens is not a flash of realizing. It's the flash that you have always realized. That there is no one to realize God because there is no one separate from God to have that realization. That's the flash. That there is nothing that can be attained is not idle talk. It is the truth. There is nothing to be attained. There is no bliss beyond who you already are, because you are that mind that is God. Moreover, whether you accomplish your aim in a single flash of thought or after going through the 10 stages of a bodhisattva's progress, the achievement will be the same. For this state of being admits no degrees. So the latter method merely entails eons of unnecessary suffering and toil. So it is that gradualist philosophy that we get there through improvement, through becoming more purified, more worthy, more saintly, more filled with goodness, and our actions become more according to Dharma, and we follow disciplines, and we fast, and we stay alone in solitude, and we take drugs, and we do everything to alter our state of consciousness to try to get closer to God. All of this just actually brings us further and further away from God. And then we require eons to get there because now we've created other dependencies upon rituals and chemicals and situations and churches and masses and prayers and all kinds of things that are completely irrelevant to the flash of realization that can only happen in the instant called now. So this teaching is not different than Ramana's teaching. Ramana teaches not to ask the question, who am I, in words, because that's a concept, and not to try to answer it with a concept, even if the concept is I am Brahman, I am Shiva, I am whatever, ultimate reality. That's a representation. And the whole point is to get out of the plane of representation into the real. We may be in the plane of representation that's total imaginary, incoherent paranoia, or we can be in the plane of representation that is philosophical, metaphysical conceptualization. Either one of them is Maya. You can be in low-class Maya or high-rent Maya, but it's Maya. And it's only when you are in the flash of total presence that does not re-enter time, but remains as presence, as the real, that there is liberation. This is the perennial philosophy. This is what has been taught, whether by Christian mystics, by Jewish Kabbalists, by Hindus, Buddhists, Taoists, or alchemists, or you name it, all who have achieved the real, the truth, have done it through the renunciation of thought and the realization of the real that is presence. there is no other way, and there is no way to approach the present because it is all there is, or it does not exist at all if you are in time, as we have discussed many times. The present does not exist if you're in chronos time. And chronos time is created by mental activity. And so until mental activity halts, presence is not possible. And when presence happens, the realization without thought is, this is God, and this is all there is. There has never been anything but this. Om Tat Sat. May you know the peace that comes of renouncing egocentric thought and emotions, fear, desire, sadness, disappointment, longing, wishing. All of those egoic attitudes that keep the present far away and keep one in the matrix of illusion that is without peace. May you know the deeper peace of pure silent presence, in which the ego falls away and all of its tendencies dissolve, and the realization of mind with the capital M, the mind of God, is realized as the self. And may you know that supreme beatific peace of the realization that presence is eternal, and that you have always been that supreme beingness to whom the world is a dream that has never happened, and that the peace of ultimate reality has never been disturbed. And may you bring the gift of the blessing of that reality into the field of the disturbance of delusion, and once again bring peace and the radiance of unity to all those nodes of consciousness that must still be awakened to the real. Namaste.